Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Thank you so much for taking time to be on the Employee Cycle Podcast. You just can't speak today. And we really appreciate it because we know there's so many things going on right now in the world that's directly affecting your workforce as you're trying to help them navigate through uncertainty. So today, we're going to talk about how to help reduce employee stress and anxiety. And I think it's really important to discuss this as there's so many things going on right now that can take a toll on your workforce. So to give a timestamp, today is June 11th. Can't believe it's already summer. That's crazy. And it's important to know where we are in the world and in regards to the date so that people understand what you're saying and how you're responding to the questions. So let's get started by you sharing a little bit about yourself, including your name, your company, your role, and where you're located.
Great. Great. First off, I want to say thank you for including me in your podcast. I really appreciate it. I do think that this is a way to help everybody out there kind of navigate this world that otherwise is just an unknown. So again, thank you very much. My name is Aaliyah Nance. I am currently the VP of People at a company called PayStand out here in the Silicon Valley. We do payments, which seems really unimportant and unfun until COVID hits and everybody has to work digitally. All of a sudden, digital payments make a lot of sense, which is cool, but at the same time, been difficult. So appreciate that, again, we're having this conversation today and moving things forward in the new light.
Great. So we're talking about reducing employee stress and anxiety. Most companies were in crisis mode March, maybe even April. Some are still in crisis mode now, and depending on what's going on, if they laid off a lot of employees or had them furloughed. But I'm really curious to know, what's the status of your workforce today?
Yeah, well, I kind of hinted at that, telling you I'm a digital payments company. We have been blessed and lucky enough to continue growing. We're not growing at the speed of light like we were before, but we're definitely still growing. So unfortunately, we did have to do a small round of layoffs to keep surviving, which is always an awful thing to do. So let's start with that. What I did for those people, because this is unprecedented times, I made sure that not only were they given a pretty generous package to help get them up off their feet, but I also made sure they had all the access to the various resources being offered to people right now. And then I took it another step further and introduced them to my wide network of recruiters with letters of recommendation from us here at PayStand, their direct supervisor, as well as myself and the CEO to help get them back into the workforce. So my taking care of my employees to me is a broader statement than just the people who are showing up each and every day. It means everybody I've ever hired. Let me help you. So that network is big to me. I've been working in the Silicon Valley with recruiters for over 20 years. So those people I turned them over to, I know will take care of them and make sure that they get back up and into the workforce as soon as possible. Beyond that, taking care of my workforce that has been here through these times has not been an easy time, especially in an all-new remote environment. So we've doubled down. We made sure that we had a lot of online videos. I had my CEO doing vlogs on a daily basis that were not just updates about the company itself, because, of course, everybody cares about the company, but also about what's going on in the world. And then also some personal stuff, which is fun. My CEO is more of an engineer type introvert, so he really hated getting on those video chats every day. But was a huge thing for our company to see the CEO just be human each and every day. So trying to bring that to a level where our employees know that they can come talk to us, you know, even in a virtual setting, that the virtual door is always open has been a challenge, but one I think we've taken on and been able to conquer quite well. We internally use Slack. Slack has been an amazing tool for us in-house for that exact reason. I know our engineers have used Slack over the years to help our product. I personally thought Slack was kind of a trendy, fun way to communicate with our staff. But honestly, through COVID, I don't know if we could have survived without it. It is, you know, the channels that we created during COVID, I think probably quadrupled the channels we had before in all those years. So we have channels, you know, about working from home. We have channels about music, so we can all upload our favorite new songs, new artists, songs that just hit our funny bone or our dance bone, and stuff like that. We have another one that's just called Dogs. For those of us that love our dogs, we constantly are posting about our dogs. So what you're hearing, and I love that you giggle, because what you're hearing is I tried really hard to make sure that we had outlets beyond work, that we were continuing building our culture, bonding with our people outside of the office. You know, usually when you're walking through the office, you have what I consider organic conversations with your coworkers that you don't have in a virtual setting. And I believe that that is what is actually causing a lot of depression and mental anxiety in the world. We are pack animals by nature. We need human contact. So in ways that I could, I tried to create that human contact in a virtual setting. I also set up each of the executive team had virtual office hours, the open door office hours. I was doing up twice a week. Most of the executive team was only going in once a week. This is fun because in 3 weeks later into COVID, my executive team came back to me and said, I've heard your virtual office hours are great. You're getting 12 to 14 employees each time. I'm only getting one or two. What am I doing wrong? And I said, well, do you keep talking about work? And they were like, well, yeah, it's work. I'm like, oh, there's where you're going wrong. No, virtual office hours by the executive team. You're missing the point. Do not talk about work. Do not talk about what you're working on. Do not talk about anything about yourself or your team or product or pay stand. You're in there to listen. You're in there to hear what's going on in their lives. And the more you ask about their personal lives, if they've left the house, if they took the dog for the walk, if they're feeding their wife's cat the wrong food, the more they start to feel like a human. And it will also help you bond down the road when we are in an intense work zone. Knowing that, you know, you like to feed your wife's cat something wrong is a funny thing to know. And it helps. So getting to know your employees, and not even just within your team, but throughout the entire organization, is really the intention of those hours. Once I was able to give that talk to our executive team, it was amazing how the virtual office hours shifted and changed. I will tell you, my virtual office hours were definitely always the most popular because I started off that way. I started off asking, hey, what's your favorite band? I love music, so it's a way to connect across the board, I believe. And really just listening to people and then asking questions about why. And they can feel that. So really just making sure each employee was, for lack of a better word, touched. In each and every week throughout COVID, whether it's for 30 seconds or half an hour, and giving them your undivided attention, making sure that they know they're being heard and that they count, is very important. I believe it's why we go to work in the first place. We want to feel like we're productive and we have value. Very hard to do in a virtual setting.
Wow. I appreciated all of that. That gave us a really comprehensive understanding of all the awesome things that you're doing. And as a fellow music lover, I love the way you said, touch your dance bone. That sounds great.
Right. Okay. So then you'll love that when there's some people who would log into my virtual office hours, I would be playing music and dancing and ask them, get up, dance with me. You want me to switch the music to your favorite music? I'm fine. Let's do this. I am not a great dancer. This is not something I would do in public in any way, shape, or form. I do not want people to think I want to dance in front of them, but it's definitely a way to let down your hair, get to know each other, and release all of that anxiety. Dancing's good for the soul.
Yes, it is. So it seems like you've used a lot of humor and really fun activities to really help people get through. In regards to engagement, have you seen those types of activities and efforts really maintain a certain level of engagement? And do you feel that once you do something, then it might drop and then you need to continue consistently do it over and over again? Or do you feel like these types of things have some like residual engagement that keep people going over time?
You know, I love that question because it's a little bit of both. And it really is reading into the individual. So obviously being in a SaaS company, I've got these amazing, highly intelligent engineers who love remote work and not having to deal with people. But it's fun to see that they've actually missed the people as well. They thought remote would be the dream come true and have now realized that the goofy things that we do in the office actually are kind of fun. And they miss that. So do I touch the engineers as much as I touch my sales team? No, I don't. Because my sales team, they need that. They need that constant affirmation, that constant boost. That's what boosts sales teams, right? That's what gives them that high energy to get on that call and close a deal. An engineer does not want to be interrupted throughout their day. So I make sure when I'm talking to engineers that I'm on their calendar when they're ready for it. Whereas salespeople, I'll just ping them. I'll text them. What's going on? What are you having for lunch? Did you see your neighbor walk the dog? What was she wearing? You know, just silly things that all escalate from that original conversation. So that's why it's fun, because it's both sides, right? You start off with that relationship with your employees, and then you continue to build off of it. So I take notes, little things that they don't know when I'm talking to them and asking them questions. I take notes on the people. And so if they say, oh, I can't believe it's my grandma's 96th birthday in June, I have my reminder to say, hey, tell your grandma I said happy birthday. And those little things that seem so not important to the company are huge to the employee. It keeps them so involved, and they know that we care about them as a person. And so, yeah, I see productivity increase so much when that happens.
Great. So with today being June 11th, not only have we experienced a global health pandemic, an economic recession, stay-at-home orders, high levels of stress and anxiety, unprecedented level of unemployment, really tense political space, high profiles of racial injustice and police brutality. There's a lot. There's a lot to stress you the hell out. So how are you helping outside of a lot of the fun things that you've been doing? What else is there? Or what else have you been doing and you found really useful to help employees deal with all of these things as they're taking all this in, which may be impacting their performance, which may impact their mental state, their physical being, their, you know, emotional state? How do you help them deal with all that?
Yeah, I'm really glad that you asked that, because with the world exploding over the last few weeks, that's been a tough one to navigate on top of being in a remote setting under COVID, right? So I felt like we had a pretty good handle on our employees' relationships under COVID in a shelter-in-place setting. And then the world exploded, and it was honestly very heavy on my shoulders. I think it's heavy on everybody's shoulders for so many reasons. And I wanted to make sure our staff, first of all, knew our stance on it. We're a pretty young company, so we don't have receipts in our back pocket from how we believe and what we think. So I wanted to make sure our staff really understood that our founders and myself have had conversations about all of these things long before this has been going on in our world very loudly. We wanted to make sure as a company that we were making the right choices and that we really believe in people of all types and all shapes and forms and equality. I will back that up a little bit by letting you know that we are a VC-backed company. And my founder CEO is from Mexico originally. And so, you know, he struggled. His family was not originally from our country. And so to be a Mexican-American that's VC-backed company, I'm proud about that. That's not an easy thing to be. And he's not somebody who has ever mentioned it to the staff. I know his personal story. The co-founder knows his personal story, but he doesn't usually bring up his personal life and how difficult it was. He's been a lot more vocal about who he is and why we are today. And I love that. He's done, like I told you, the vlogs, but he really did a very deep vlog for the company on who he is and where he stands on that. And then, of course, it looks like I followed up with this, but of course, Jeremy, our CEO, knew what I was already working on. When I watched the video of George Floyd calling out for his mom, I'm a mother. I think every mother on this earth felt like he was calling, like I have goosebumps just talking about it. I felt like every mother on this earth felt like he was calling them. And if you're a mom and you did not hear his voice for you, there's something wrong. So it hit deep. Yes, I'm getting emotional, and I've had weeks to get over this, but it's a hard one. It's a hard one. So I allow staff to see me be emotional, and I want to back up and allow them the space as well. So we've made sure if you can't work because of your anxiety, we're not dinging your PTO. Take the time to self-heal, to do whatever you need to do. If you want to go be a part of the protest, we're not taking your PTO. Go be a part of the protest. Do it safely. Beyond that, reaching out to our staff that is of color, letting them know, I know I don't know what you're going through. I know that. I'm very aware. But it can't be okay. And I want to know if there's anything I can do as a person, we can do as a company to support you, your family, your friends. Is there anything that I can do better company-wide to help our other coworkers help what's going on? So far, my answers have been, thank you. And they appreciate that. But we need to do more. We need to do so much more. So what I did after our CEO left the vlog again on Slack for our entire company to really talk about where we stand on racial injustice and the systematic oppression that we all are very aware of, I followed it up with another Slack for myself to the entire staff. And of course, it goes into not just George Floyd, but all, unfortunately, a giant list of people's names who just have been the George Floyds before. And haven't had the right justice to remind people of all the names. I followed that up with another petition to sign ending violent policing against all Black people. You know, that I believe that we should be signing every petition possible. So I made sure I had links to that. I then followed up with causes that I believe we should all be donating to. You know, obviously, like Black Lives Matter, the Minnesota Freedom Fund, Nationwide Bail Fund, American Civil Liberties Union, the Marshall. I can keep going and going. I left them a list, and that way they can do their own research. They can figure out who they want to support, and then I let them know, you know, we're a startup. We don't have a lot of money to go out and donate. We just got done donating a bunch of PPE to our local hospitals. So I've told everybody I will match. My personal belief is I will match any of my employees' donations personally. Yes, I will go broke in the month of June and most likely the month of July. But that's okay, because I want our employees to see loud and clear that our money is where our mouth is, and vice versa. I followed those places to donate with talking about protesting and a guide on how to stay safe. I don't want to obviously tell everybody, yes, I believe you should go out and protest, but if you feel the need to be there, I'm going to support you and make sure you've got the safest way to do that under COVID. If you're not comfortable protesting, I gave them another list of ways that they can help, impactful ways to help throughout our community and throughout the country itself. Beyond that, I went and did a lot of research. So I am an avid reader. I have a degree in literature. I love to read everything under the sun. I'm constantly just reading. And so what I did is I gave them a list of some of the reads that I've gone through as a white person, trying to understand what systematic racism is and the history of all the racist U.S. laws, just so much history on why we are 450 years into this so deep, and hopefully helping my white coworkers and others come to a better understanding of why our country is the way it is today. Following that education, I also followed up with stressful and painful. I understand that everybody's in a stressful and painful time, regardless of your color of your skin. This is not easy for any of us. COVID wasn't easy. Adding this layer to it just makes it that much more like, how much more can I take? I think people feel. So I made sure they had a giant list again of different ways for free, or sometimes not so free, but again, we will help you with that, mental health. So I've given them, you know, reduced fees for teletherapy. I've given them meditation ideas, find free help near you, suicide hotline. I mean, just you name it, under the gun, anything I could come up with or find to help support their mental health. So with probably the longest Slack of our customer our pay stand history, but I believe being able to give our employees the right tools to feel like they can be active if they want is really important to me.
I don't even know where to start. That was so much, and I'm going to have you back on for another episode.
I would love it.
A full-length episode to break all these things down. I can't tell you.
I would love to share all the history. I mean, I spent 4 days compiling that Slack. 4 solid days, I didn't sleep. And I would love to share it with everybody who wants it. I do believe it's not the complete list. I know I can do more. But after 4 days, I also knew I had to get back to work.
Yeah, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your level of authenticity, your level of vulnerability. and just showing how much you care about these issues and about your workforce. And of course, all of our hearts go out to the family of George Floyd. So on behalf of our team and everyone who will be listening to this awesome podcast episode, we really hope that you, your family, and your workforce stay safe and stay healthy. And we truly appreciate your time. And we're definitely going to have you back, because this, what is it now, 21 minutes isn't enough time to really go into all of the things that you brought up, which I would love to have you back on to discuss.
I would be honored. And I'm right there with you. Anything I can do to help others in this time, feel like there's a community out here.